Ephesians chapter number 2. And we finally made it to chapter 2 after about 4 weeks in chapter 1. There's a lot in there. And we'll look at Ephesians chapter number 2. And we'll use the board tonight, so you look. Let me get there. Ephesians chapter number 2. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we've had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And we'll stop there. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless the Bible study tonight. I pray you'd give us something that'll help the people in the middle of the week, Lord, on a Wednesday night. And Lord, we need your help tonight, just like we do on Sundays. But Lord, I pray that you'd help now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Ephesians, you'll find in chapter number 2, you'll find a contrast. What you'll find is a comparison to before you were saved and after you were saved. Before you were saved, you were lost. After you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. Before you were saved, you were dead in your sins. After you're saved, you're alive unto God. And that's what you see in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. It is back and forth, showing a contrast. There's seven items that he goes over before you were saved. And then there's seven items that he goes over after you were saved and tells us some things like that. Now, first of all, let's look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, you see that word quickened. That word quickened in the Bible, you need to get a Bible definition. Now, it's good. You can look it up in Webster's Dictionary in 1828. That's a good dictionary if you want to use that. But if the best dictionary, now you remember this, the best dictionary for Bible words is the Bible. Now, hold your place and let's look at Numbers chapter 16. Now, that's in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. And Numbers chapter 16, he's talking about, y'all remember the story where God opened the ground and swallowed some of the children of Israel over there. They was murmuring and complaining, and how I wish we could do that. And, he just opened the ground up, just swallowed them all. All right, look at verse 30. Numbers 16:30. But if the Lord made a new thing, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, with all of their that appertained unto them, and they go down what? Quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all the words, that the ground clave asunder that were unto them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all of them that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they, and all that appertained to them went down, what? Into the what? All right. Compare verse 30 and verse 33. Watch what verse 30 says. They go down quick into the what? Verse 33 says they went down what? Alive into the pit. All right. So you tell me what the word quickened means. To make alive. Now, we got that definition out of the Bible. We didn't get that off of some commentary or a college or a professor somewhere. We got that straight out of the Bible. That is the best way to do it. So when you come back to Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." You read that and you say the word quickened means to make alive. "And you hath he made alive who were dead." Before you got saved, you were dead. But after you got saved, you were quickened. You were made alive. You ever, have y'all ever clipped a nail? And, you know, we trim our fingernails all the time, right? Some people bite. Some people do it right, get them clippers, you know, all that stuff. And it don't hurt. It don't hurt, does it? It does hurt when you get down in the... You know that you are alive. You start a trimming, and all of a sudden you trim too hard, and you're like, "Woo! That hurt!" Why? You're alive. You ever done this to your mother? Used to, when and you ever done it, you took straight pins. And there's a little layer of skin right there that you can take a straight pin and put it in your skin, and you can hold that straight pin out, and you go, "Oh, look." And your mama's like, "Don't do that." You understand? Because there's a layer right there. It don't hurt. Sometimes you try to do that, and you go down too far, and you get in the quick. And you're like, "Woo! Hallelujah." That's down there where it's alive. It's tender. It's alive. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul here. "And you," see, you, we don't need a new version. We just need to know how to define the words that are in this one. "And you hath he quickened." God quickened you. "Who were dead." See the contrast. "Who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now you've been quickened. "And you hath he quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sin." Wherein in times past, it's before you got saved, you walked according to the course of this world. You ever noticed a stream? Water takes course. And the course of that water follows the outline of that stream. When a person is lost and they're not saved, they do what everybody else does. They follow the course of this world. If somebody starts sagging their pants, everybody starts sagging their pants. If everybody starts listening to it and thinks Miley Cyrus is something to listen to, then here everybody thinks she's something to listen to. And then everybody starts dressing like her. And then everybody. We might as well be honest. After the course of this world, just following the course of the world. That's where you were before you got saved. Just follow the course of the world. What everybody else is doing, that's what you're just following right along. Huh? That's for you were quickened. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, says, "In whom the God of this world," a small G-O-D, that is the prince of this world. That is the God of this world. Why? Because he has a kingdom. His kingdom is this world. You say, "Well, I thought the Lord is a..." Not yet. I mean, he owns it all, but he hasn't taken possession of it all. And one of these days, he's supposed to come down here at the second coming and take possession, and won't anybody left to be standing except the saved. Hallelujah. And they won't crucify him then. They won't take his name in vain then. But before you were saved, you walked the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now you see, everything he's talking about, the contrast before you were saved. Before you were saved, you were dead, trespassing and sin. You walked according to the course of this world. You according to the prince of the power of the air. And you are the spirit of the have the spirit of the children of disobedience. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation. Our conversation in manner of life, our everyday life, conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You ever wondered why people can do some of the heinous things that we have seen on television? People, they can't help it. They're dead in trespasses and in sin. They're walking according to the course of this world. Their God is the prince and power of the air. They're fulfilling the desires and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, before you got saved, y'all know, you were a mess. You were a mess. I'm talking about dead and trespasses and sin. I mean, you couldn't hit the mark. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You couldn't hit the bullseye if you tried. If you come to church every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, you couldn't hit the bullseye if you tried. Even if you started coming to Sunday school, you couldn't hit the bullseye. You could be a Sunday school teacher. You could be whatever, take up the offering, or you could be anything in the church and still miss the mark and not hit the bullseye. That's the way you were before you got saved. Unbelievers are that way. They step the way the world steps. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 says, somebody help me start. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and so on and so forth. But that's what he said, walking. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the way you were before you got saved. Unbelievers are under the power of Satan, the god of this world. He controls them through lies and deceit. Unbelievers fulfill the lust of the flesh. The unsaved man is dead in trespassing and sin. Until a man is saved, he different. Now listen to this. Don't get mad at me. But a man, woman, boy, girl, before they're saved, there's not much difference in them and an animal. I felt the kink on that. You say, you're calling me an animal? If you're not saved, there's not much difference. Because an animal, all they want to do is survive, reproduce, and have some comfort. An unsaved person, all they want to do is survival of the fittest, reproduce, and have the comforts of life. Not much difference. Some of you still think, I can't believe he just called the unsaved people an animal. Hey, I got news for you. They're teaching your kids that every day in school. That's why they act like animals, is because they're being taught they're come from animals. That's why kids act the way they do. And I can tell you this, it's one of two things. It's either back to the Bible or back to the jungle. And that's the way it is. If we're not going back to the Bible, we're going back to the jungle, and everybody's just, I mean, you know. This is supposed to be Wednesday night. I mean, I don't know. I mean, just, yeah, our kids are told, yeah, you come from monkeys. You come from this. You evolved into this. That's why they act the way they do. If you're told you're an animal, you act like an animal. I'm going to get off that because that ain't going over too good. But tell the school system it works. The Bible works. You take the Bible out of school, you take prayer out of school, and then you start telling them they're animals. They act like animals. They start killing at school. And then they want to blame God. Where was God? You kicked him out of school a long time ago. Don't blame God. He wasn't there. Unbelievers fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5 says this, the works of the flesh are these, adultery and fornication and uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. There's about 17 of them, works of the flesh that people do, unsaved people. Works of the flesh. Unbelievers are children of wrath. You say, how? Are unbelievers children of wrath? Well, I can tell you this, Psalm 51, verse 5, David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Every person is born a sinner. Psalm 58 and 3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalm 58, 3, write it down, read it when you get home. It says, every baby that's born comes forth from his mother's womb speaking lies. You say, not my baby. Not my baby. Oh, yes, your baby. You just wait. 2 o'clock in the morning, they'll start screaming and hollering. You'll think somebody done broke in and about to kill the baby. And all of a sudden, you think, and you go in there and just poke your head over in the bassinet or the baby bed, and they quit crying. Now, while you were in the bed asleep at 2 o'clock, they were crying, saying, something's wrong with me. You stick your head over there, and they quit. Wasn't nothing wrong with them. They just lied to you. You don't have to train them how to lie. They do that on their own. They learn how to do that. Okay, so if I cry in the middle of the night, Mom and Daddy are coming in here. Of course, I did it. Baby started crying in the middle of the night. I elbowed my wife, and like the Bible says you ought to do. And no, I'm kidding. I did my time. I did change a few, you know. Probably not enough. Now, I'm trying to get to the good point, the good part. Verse 1, 2, and 3, compare. Before you were saved, this is the way you were, dead in sin, walked course this world, principality of the air, this, that, and the other. I mean, bad, 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 before you got saved. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, first two words. But who? God. Aren't you glad that God didn't leave us in verse 1, 2, or 3? But God came on the scene and intervened in our lives. But God, every one of us in this room, including me, would be on their way to hell if it wasn't for but God. Romans 5, 8 says, but God commended his love toward us in it while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God don't want to leave you in that state. It don't matter who you are, what color your skin is, what side of the tracks you live on. If you were born after Adam, you're in verse 1, 2, and 3. But verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. Now, let me explain this real quick. Real quick, best I can, time we got left. Now, don't laugh. I never have claimed to be a drawer or an artist. Or the son of an artist. Now, real quick. Y'all see this fellow right here? It's not E.T. It's actually a fellow. This guy right here, his name is Adam. Adam was created in the Garden of Eden long, long time ago. And God, the Bible says that God formed man from the dust of the ground. You see that brown line? That's dust. That's dirt. Formed man for the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's the blue line. Every person in this room is a body, a soul, and a spirit. You see that? Every person in here is born body, soul, and spirit. You got three people living on the inside of you. You got an outer part. You say, how is that so? Well, a football works the same way. You got the outer shell, then you got the inner tube, and then you got air on the inside of the inner tube. It's all one football, but you got the outer, then you got the tube, and then you got the air, that spirit, pneumas, pneumatic drill, pneumonia, has to do with air. Spirit, right there in the center. Adam was created in this way, body, soul, and spirit, and God communed with him because there was nothing standing between God and man. But then there was a day when they were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. All right? So what happens is Eve eats of that fruit, gives it to her husband, which is with her. And as soon, the very minute, they took of that grape, the lights went out. Y'all understand, I'm not going to take time to fill that in. Is that all right? Y'all see that? The lights went out. The lights used to be on in there. Communication with God. But now there's no communication. Why? Because in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. We're going to cut the lights out on you. Guess what? He got kicked out of the garden. Adam, you can't stay in the Garden of Eden no more. You got to get out. Everything in the center turned black. The lights went off. Now, you say, they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Aren't you glad that God didn't leave them in that way? But God, who is rich in mercy, it come time for the cross. And God says, you know what, Adam, look what he's done. I can't communicate with him. I can't talk with their sin between us. And the only way to get that rid of that is for my son to come and live a perfect life, sinless life, die upon the cross, so we can have communion with God. And so, one time when I was a 10-year-old boy, I came down and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save me. And you know what? The Lord saved me. And this is what happened. Every child that's born, everybody in this room, you were born. We're all kin. I don't know if you know that or not. We're all kin. We're all kin to this fella, Adam. If the lights went out on him, everybody born after him was born with the lights out. Everybody after Adam was born dead in trespasses and sin. Everybody after Adam was born to walk according to the course of this world, to the prince of the power of the air, to children of disobedience. But God, who was rich in mercy, wherein his great love, he loved us. One day, I realized that I was a sinner. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't come to church enough. I couldn't get baptized enough. I couldn't do enough. But God did enough. And I said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm lost, and I need to be saved. And I wish you'd come in my heart, clean me up. Take this old black heart, wash it in red blood, and make it whiter than snow. Lord, I wish you would do that for me. I can't do it myself. I've tried everything I know to try, and I can't, but you can. I mean, anybody get excited.
Amen, bro.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And now I'm able to talk with God again and commune with Him. So what He did, this is what He did. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in my heart and save me. That's what he did. He took the two-edged sword. He took a sword. He took a sword, and he did an operation. Now, you didn't feel it, but while you were getting saved, asked the Lord to come in your heart, the Lord took out a sword and started cutting. And he cut away the flesh, the outside, you understand? And he cut it away from the rest of your being. So now, by operation of God, this outside is the old man, and this inside becomes the new man. I drew it like this. You see the old man? That's your flesh. That is your flesh right there. I'm talking about, if you don't watch him, he'll rise his ugly head up. And you'll do a saved person will do things that they wouldn't dream. You'd say, a saved person can't do that. You'd be surprised what a saved person might be able to do. If they let this guy rule and reign their life. But then this guy right here, is him too right there in the middle. That's him right there. That's the saved part of me. Y'all are looking at my flesh, and you say, man, sometime Brother Jeremy, boy, I've seen him get, man, he'd get red down behind the ears, and boy, he gets really, whoo, he gets hot. Well, that's that guy. This guy don't lose his temper. He's saved. My outer part, I still have trouble. I don't know about y'all. I don't know if I'm the only one in here, but I still have trouble with this guy. This guy still likes to listen to stuff, and you got to watch it. Because this guy right here is like, hey, you don't need to be watching that. Yeah. Or this guy says, you don't need to be watching that. Yeah. And this guy's like, well, I like watching that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I used to watch that before I got saved, before Christ. I used to watch it. I used to listen to that before Christ. And this guy's saying, well, listen, you need to let me control your life. You need to quit that. Don't live by after the flesh. You were dead and trespassing in sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherein he loved you, washed you from your sins. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 is telling us. You don't have to walk after the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You say, these two, you're a split personality. I know we've been over this before, but in Ephesians 2, I mean, it's right there. I got to do it again. Unless I skip it. Galatians 5 says, these two are contrary one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you would. This guy wants to live like he wants to live, and I can tell you this. I've said it 100 times, and I'll probably say it another 100 before we get out of here, before the rapture. Whichever one of these guys you feed the most is the one that's going to control your life. You say, I can't live the Christian life. You got that right. This guy can't live a Christian life. But Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. I reckon myself dead. I go back to the cross and say, I'm dead. I'm dead. This guy, you're dead. You don't tell me what to do. You got to get mean with it. Wake up in the morning, he's like, well, let's turn the TV on. Well, this guy's like, well, how about reading your Bible first before you turn your TV on? How about pray? How about talking to God? Well, I don't feel like it. Well, I feel like it. Well, I mean, I'd rather, you know, first thing I want to do in the morning is get on Facebook and check and see what everybody else is doing. And this guy's like, well, who cares what everybody else is doing? Who cares when they go to Walmart? Who cares if there's a sale at JCPenney's? I mean, come on. Well, and this guy's like, well, I'm nosy. I mean, I want to know who's doing what and who's going with who. And it's what I want to know. I like that kind of stuff. so I can get on the phone and call somebody else's flesh. We're preaching now, ain't we? But this guy right here is like, well, I'm going to tell you, you're starving me to death. I mean, one service a week, I'm about to starve to death. I mean, you're feeding this guy. He gets to watch soap operas. He gets to watch Jerry Springer. Anything he wants to watch. I mean, just, it don't matter if it's cussing on it. This guy, just whatever. He has no restraints. Man, this guy, he goes where he wants to. I know saved people. Saved people that go into places they ought not go. Why? Because this fella is leading them by the nose. This guy right here. And this guy's going, man, I'm starved to death. Man, I got to have more than just Sunday morning. I just can't live on a couple of verses a week. You're killing. I'm about to starve to death. This guy's like, man, I'm fat. Man, you're feeding me good. I mean, Merle Haggard, come on, man. He stopped loving her today. Place to reveal. You say, how you know that? He knows it. Man, old Burrow comes on. He's like, man, that's good. This guy's like, turn that. And this guy's like, uh-uh, leave it on there. And this guy's like, give me some primitive. I'm no longer an orphan. See, I'm no longer an orphan. Somebody's rescued me. My garments no longer are tattered. My family is royalty. Look, that's right there. And that's what Ephesians 2 is all about. He says, this is the way it used to be. And there, but God, right here, who is rich in mercy. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what 8 and 9 says. And so that's what he's talking about in Ephesians 2, contrasting this, dead in trespass and sin, risen with Christ, alive unto God. And I'll tell you this, I'm closing. When I got saved, I forgot to put this up here, but I got a little extra something that we found out in chapter 1. And when I got saved, he separated these two guys. And even though I'm still in the same body, I did it like this so you could see. These two guys are the same person. But he separated it. But not only did he save me, but Ephesians chapter 2 down there says, he seated us in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. So, not only did he save me, he placed me up there. I'm done. Look. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Where? Where at? In Christ. Christ is the head. That's the body. That's the body of Christ. Well, there I am. I'm up there. I'm just waiting on you. I told you I was quitting. But I really didn't mean it. He raised us up. When I got saved, I'm done. When I got saved, there was a resurrection that took place inside. I got resurrected and placed up here. Now you say, well, what about this guy? Well, this guy's going to get resurrected at the rapture. Or if this guy dies and he's out in the graveyard and he's saved, when he dies, this guy separates from his body and goes on up there to be with the Lord. This guy we go plant in the ground. One day, the Lord's going to come. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. He's getting up, going to change his body, fashion like in his glorious body. And these two guys are going to be reunited together in perfect, just like the Lord. You say, that it happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing different between us and him is when he raised, he got a physical resurrection and a spiritual resurrection at the same time. You don't get both of them at the same time. You get the spiritual resurrection first, and you got to wait on this resurrection. He got his both at the same time. When he come up, he got a physical and a spiritual resurrection at the same time. You got one of them. I'm waiting on this one. And it'd be all right with me if it happened tonight. Wouldn't bother me one bit. I wouldn't even pay the electric bill this month. I'd let them cut the electric off. I ain't going to be there. Hallelujah. All right. We'll take time for some prayer requests. How many of you